I don't know about anybody else, but I was just getting heated right now, sitting out there. Singing about the breath of God in our lungs, you know. And how so often I forget to thank God for that. I woke up this morning and instead of the first things on my lips being thankful for another day, I was upset because I woke up late. Whose fault was that? Mine. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. That breath in our lungs is precious. Amen, somebody? I thank God for what you do. I thank God for getting my attention. Because it will make me better, amen? Hallelujah, somebody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many of you came expecting something from God tonight? I hope everybody did. Because I came expecting for God to move tonight, amen? And not because I'm preaching, I just want God to move. And then I don't have to say another word. As long as God moves, I'm good. Hallelujah. You see, you guys are the ones who made an effort to come tonight. You guys are the ones who took time out of your schedule to come meet God. Because God wants to meet you. God wants to impart into you, amen? God wants to share what He has to share with you, amen? Hallelujah, somebody? I'm excited. I'm excited because God is here. Amen? No matter if anybody else is excited or not, I'm excited because God is here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm excited for what God is going to do.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
If one life gets touched, hallelujah.
Okay.
It's all worth it. If somebody walks out this door different than when how they came in, it's all worth it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everyone, for sowing a seed into my life and into my family's life. I do not take it for granted. And I so very much appreciate each and every one of you. And I pray God bless you beyond measure, beyond what you could ask or even think. Amen. I pray you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. That His favor ever go before you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this night, Lord God. I thank you that you would have your way tonight, God. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say, God. Use this vessel. I submit this vessel to you, God. Change what you want to change, Lord God. Because tonight is all about you. Not about me. Not about anybody else. But it's all about you tonight, God. And so we want to magnify and glorify you tonight, God. That you will continue to have your way in your people, God. That you will touch us, Father God, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, God. We honor you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. So tonight I want to, if you're looking for a title, the title is it opposition or is it opportunity? Amen? When something happens in your life, is it an opportunity or is it opposition? And how do we look at that? How do we see things when things come into our life? Is it only the good things that we see as opportunity? Is it only the bad stuff that we see as opposition? Is it a blessing? Or maybe is it a burden? Amen? And some of the stuff that God put upon my heart to share with you tonight. And so I pray that you would think about that, that you would ponder that in your heart, amen? And I'm here to share with you that no matter what it is that you're going through, you serve a God who's fighting on your behalf. And He only wants the very best for each of us. Amen? God only wants the very, very best for you and for me.
Hallelujah.
That's the God that we serve. And guess what? He's going to use every situation. No matter what it is, God can use every situation. Amen. To help us, to teach us, to bless us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody turn to Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody good?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And the Word of God says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Father, we thank you for your Word, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would reveal to us the truth within your Word, God, that you would see, Father God, that you would help us, Lord God, to have understanding, Lord God, of your Word. We honor you, we give you glory, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, you may be seated. Thank you for reverencing the Lord. So what was Herod's intention? What was it that Herod was trying to do? Amen. He was trying to persecute the church. But even though Herod's intention was to persecute the church, God's purpose will always overrule human intention. Amen. God's will and purpose will always be done. Always. No matter what. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody ought to get excited about that, because I'm excited that God, no matter what the enemy means for evil, God's going to come and fulfill it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not about clapping our hands, amen. It's about getting it in our spirit.
That's right.
Amen. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
God's intention for you and for me is good. He's going to work on our behalf every single day.
Yes.
Amen?
Right. Amen.
Because he loves us and we're his children. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that gets me excited. No matter what people may want to do to you, no matter how others may conspire against you, all of it is being done for the purpose of God, who is for you. He's not against you.
Right.
Amen? According to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, it says, God has great plans for you.
Amen.
And it's God who wants to see you blessed, not begging. Amen? Favored, not fading.
Amen.
Blessed, not begging. Favored, not fading. That's
Amen.
What God wants. Amen? And if God be for me, who can be against me, the Word of God says.
Amen.
You can try and stand against me. Amen? Amen? People can try to stand against you. Amen? But you're standing against the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. God Almighty himself. Because God said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? There's nothing and no one that can come, that can touch him. Hallelujah. And he's fighting on our behalf. And in the end, God's purpose for our life is what's going to prevail. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe it's verse 2. It says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw this, or when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, don't you know the enemy's always trying to get approval? Amen? Always has somebody who's going to agree with his plan. Hallelujah. The plan of opposition and persecution. Somebody who's ready to cheer on the enemy. Amen? The Jews were conspiring. I mean, it pleased them. Right? When Herod went and killed James. Hallelujah. Now he's persecuting the church because it's pleasing the Jews. The Word says he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happening during the festival of unleavened bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intending to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But what does it say the church was doing? They were praying, but they were earnestly praying. They were earnestly praying. Amen. And the Bible makes a distinction about their prayer. Hallelujah. Because I don't know about you, but I'll admit that sometimes when I'm praying, I'm not earnestly praying. When the chips are down and I really, really, really need a touch from God, oh boy, I can earnestly pray. Amen?
Amen.
But there are times when I go through emotions. I do just enough. I'll talk about me. It's okay. Nobody else got to admit. Because my flesh gets in the way. Hallelujah. Not because I don't want to. But there are times when you earnestly pray. And that's what was happening in the church. Amen? You got to see what the people of God were doing. They were earnestly praying, the word says. Not just a quickie prayer, not just one of those Lord help him prayers. They were earnestly seeking the life of one of the three. Anybody remember when the Lord was going to be transfigured? Peter, James, and John. They were the three that God took up on the mountain so that they could see him transfigured. Amen? James and John, the sons of thunder. The sons of Zebedee, amen? That's what they were called, the sons of thunder. Hallelujah, somebody?
Hallelujah.
There were leaders in the church. Amen? They had just killed James. Now they're taking Peter. And put Peter in prison. He was one of the main leaders in the church. They had just seen James put to death by the sword, and Peter was looking at the same fate. As soon as the unleavened bread was, the festival was done, he was going to put him in trial. Amen? And nothing was going to stop them from praying, it was serious. And so they were earnestly praying. They prayed even though they were hurting. Even though they didn't know if their prayer was working. How many times have you ever prayed and not even know if your prayers are reaching the throne of God? How many of you have ever felt like your prayers just kind of hit the ceiling and bounced right back? Okay, good. Not on the phone. But sometimes we don't know. Amen? I know God hears every word. Every single word. There's nothing that gets past him. Amen? But I don't feel like it sometimes. But don't you know it's not about how we feel? It's about what the word says. And God says he's listening. And God says that he hears the cries of his children. Amen? And so sometimes we got to move past what we feel. We got to move past what we think. Hallelujah. And trust that God hears. And he's fighting on our behalf. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing was going to stop them from praying because they couldn't rely on themselves. But they had to rely on God, who had a purpose for their life.
Amen.
And for the church. Amen?
Amen?
You see, when God brings you opportunity, the enemy is going to bring opposition.
That's right.
Amen? If God is bringing an opportunity, the enemy is going to come against them. And he's going to try to bring opposition in their life. And it's up to us to earnestly pray and seek the face of God for our miracle. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to earnestly seek the face of God for your opportunity. And let the devil know that no matter what the opposition, your God is greater.
Amen.
He's never been defeated. Amen?
Amen.
There's not a number big enough that I can even say. Amen? How many times he's never been defeated? You know, the boxers and the fighters, they got that 24-0, 12-0, right? His number's too big on the left-hand side. Infinite, maybe. That's the best one, probably.
Amen.
Hallelujah? He's never been defeated.
Amen.
And he never will be. And we can stand firm on that.
That's right.
Amen? Your God will have His purpose fulfilled. And that, and the enemy has been defeated before, and he will be again. Amen. He is a defeated foe, the Word of God says. Right. Amen? He's defeated. Already done. Excuse me. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about. Is your opportunity or your opposition. When something comes into your life, how do you properly identify which of these two it is? Amen? You see, we all want to believe that the only thing that God would ever bring to our life is opportunity. Hallelujah? Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Jim, he's always a blessing to me. I appreciate him. But what's really true is that sometimes God allows attacks from the enemy to become our greatest opportunities. Hallelujah. Opportunities to build faith, opportunities to build trust, opportunities to build strength in ourselves, opportunities to grow in faith in the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Yeah. You see, so often we think that it's the enemy that's knocking on the door trying to bring opposition to our life, when actually sometimes it's the Father trying to develop our life.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes we don't want to accept that there's opposition in our life. We pray against it. Amen. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. But really, it's God trying to use the situation to develop us. Not all the time. But sometimes God is using that situation, amen, that He allowed to enter into your life. That door to open, amen. So that He can develop us. And He can help us grow. Hallelujah. Sometimes what may knock on your door looking like it's your greatest trial, sometimes it's just training. Man, that's a hard one sometimes. Hallelujah. Because I don't know about anybody else, but Lord, can you train me without the trial? Maybe you could just be merciful. Just give me the cliff notes, God. I'm listening. I'm good. I'll follow direction. But don't you know God knows the best way to train us?
Yeah,
amen? God knows the best way that'll make it stick. Because I don't know if you read cliff notes in high school. Amen? But I usually don't remember too much of the cliff notes. Right? It just kind of got you through.
Yeah.
Amen? But really, you didn't learn. Amen? And God's not halfway when it comes to helping His children. Amen? None of us would go halfway to help our kids. Amen? We do everything that we can to help our kids. And God is no different. Amen? When God wants to train us, He wants to train us so that we'll remember that training. We'll implement that training. Amen? That training is gonna stick. Amen? Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Well, when you went to basic training, they didn't just tell you about some stuff, right? They actually had you do some things, right? Amen? They actually made you train. So that in a time of battle, it would come automatic. Amen? In a time when the enemy is coming against you, your training just kicks in. Hallelujah? Because it was real training. And that's the ones that stick. Sometimes it's not so much fun. Sometimes we don't like going through it. Hallelujah. But it's the one that sticks. And it's the one that helps us to be able to help somebody else. Because really, that's what it's all about. That's the whole gospel message. Amen?
Amen.
because it's not about us. It's about God in us to be able to help somebody else to come to know Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The very thing that we fear, the very thing that we try to reject and speak the word of God against, might very well be the instrument God is using to develop your life and mine. Because no matter what the enemy meant to use to destroy you, God said that he intends it for good. God intends it for good. He's not there to destroy us. Even though the trial is hard sometimes, even though the battle is hard sometimes, even though we can't see the end and wonder how we're ever going to get out of this situation, God intends it for good. Amen?
Yeah.
And there's nothing that will stop him from turning the enemy's opposition into your greatest opportunity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God has great opportunities for each of us. And this allows us to live our lives with a very special kind of faith. A faith that's different from those who think that everything God brings into our life is always rainbows and butterflies. Amen? You got those people that think, if it's from God, it's got to be good. It's always going to be good. Anybody ever read Job?
Yeah.
You see, God didn't bring that. But he allowed it. It passed through the hand of God. Amen? Why? Because God knew the end. You see, the enemy only saw the persecution. The enemy only saw the bad stuff that he was going to do to Job. But God saw the end. The double portion blessing. Amen? God saw the finished Job. Because he knows the end from the beginning. And there's nothing that takes him by surprise. That's why he said to defeat him. There's nothing that the enemy is going to spring on him that's going to catch him by surprise and go, oh, shucks, I didn't see that. Amen, somebody?
Yeah.
And the same is true for our lives. No matter what the enemy might try to bring, if God allows it, he's going to take us through it. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You see, sometimes when you're praying for an opportunity, you'll be surprised to find out that when you open that door, you'll find opposition instead. You got to understand the environment that the church was operating in. In chapter 11, the chapter just before, and then Acts chapter 11, they were fighting a famine. They were taking up offerings just to help support the church. James had just been killed. Now they have Peter. It was a very serious situation and great opposition to the church, amen? But the opportunity for God's purpose was greater. They just couldn't see it yet. How many times when you and I are praying, we just can't see how the story is going to end, how the trial is going to end, how, God, I know you can get me through this, but I want to know how. Because it'll make me feel better. It'll make me feel better. I'll feel more confident, God, if you just kind of clue me in a little bit. Help the brother out. Amen?
Amen.
If you just let me know that I'm good. But that's not faith. Faith takes you through to see it before you know it. Before it's come to pass. Amen?
Yeah.
If you need $1,000 and somebody hands you $1,000, I don't have faith. I don't need to have faith no more. I got $1,000. Right? But if they need $1,000 and nobody's bringing $1,000 and I don't have $1,000 and I'm trusting God because I have a need for $1,000, then I need faith. And I can believe that God can bring that $1,000. Why? Because I've seen it. I've seen it in my mind's eye. I've seen it in my spirit.
Yes.
I've seen it in the physical happen to people around me.
Hallelujah.
And God is no respecter of persons. So if they did it for Him,
right.
if He did it for Him, He can
right.
do it for me too.
That's right.
Amen. Amen, somebody?
Yes.
That's faith. And that's what they needed. They needed at that time, they needed faith. Amen? To believe that God could do a miracle. Because they were fighting against what they saw with James. The opposition was what they saw happen to James, because they were praying for James too. But James was killed by the sword. Some of the scholars think that it took off his head. But he was killed. And they were praying. And the outcome wasn't exactly what they were intending. The outcome wasn't what they wanted. Amen? Were their prayers in vain? No. That was just the plan of God. Amen? It's up to us to do our part. But then God will be God. Hallelujah? And you gotta be okay with that. I'm okay with God being God, because He knows far better than I do. He knows beyond what I could ever know. And His plans and His ways are perfect.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It takes faith to stand and to see opportunity in the face of opposition. When opposition is coming, it takes faith to see opportunity in that. And so what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We all know that. Hallelujah. But I asked God, I said, God, give me an easy, simple way to explain faith. So how many of you ever been, or how many of you know about Disney World? How many of you ever been there? I've never been there. But I know all about Disney World. I've heard all about it. Amen? So much so that I could get on a plane and fly to where I've been told that it is. I can hop in a car and drive to the address that I've heard is the address for Disney World. And guess what? It's going to be there. It's there. And I've never even seen the place. I don't have no idea where it is. Exactly? Amen? Faith is the same thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I haven't seen the new world, but I know it's there. I haven't seen my new home, but I know it's there.
Amen.
I haven't seen heaven, but I know it's there.
Amen.
I haven't seen the things that God has promised in my life, but I know it's there.
Amen.
But it's there.
Hallelujah.
And all God's saying is, trust me in the opposition. Have faith in the opposition to see the opportunity that I'm bringing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It takes trust to know that God will bring you through to the other side. Not only faith, but you got to trust God. You got to trust God to know that He's going to bring you through to the other side. And it takes perseverance to press in and believe and trust in God when everything around you is screaming for you to give up. When the enemy is at your door knocking, telling you to give up. You see, God just left you hanging. God just left you high and dry. You can't do this on your own. And look, where is God? Is He here to help you? Everything within you is screaming to give up and not to trust God for your opportunity, for your miracle. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Hallelujah. And if He can steal your faith, if He can steal your trust, and destruction will follow. But God says, just trust me. Just trust me, because I've never lost. Just trust me because I've never failed you. Just trust me because I will not leave you. Just trust me because I am here for you. Just trust me because I am God. And everything I desire for you is in the palm of my hand, and I'm ready to give it to you when the time is right. Just trust me through your trial. Just trust me through the opposition. Because my word is true. That's what God is saying to each and every one of us tonight. Trust Him through the opposition. Trust Him through the struggle. Trust Him when you're screaming to God in the middle of the night saying, God, help me. God wants you to trust Him tonight. Hallelujah. And it not only takes trust, it also takes an intimate knowledge of your Heavenly Father or to know that whatever is waiting for you at the door, even if God did not send it, He will use it not only to develop you, but ultimately to bless you. You see, if you don't know the Father, it's hard to believe that. An intimate knowledge is close. Amen? And that's how you gotta know your Father. Because when you know Him, you know who He is. You know. You know the characteristics of God. That helps you to understand and it helps you to have faith. It helps you to trust in Him. Amen? Because of who He is. Hallelujah. So here is the church praying. They're still reeling from the death of James, one of their leaders. And now they got Peter, another leader. And Harry thinks he can eliminate the church by cutting off its head. Amen? Cutting off the leaders. One by one if he has to. Also that he can advance his agenda. Amen? So that he can look good to the Jews. Because that's his plan. He wants to look good in front of the Jews. So he's doing everything he can. Amen. To make them happy. Everybody say, but God.
But God.
But God had another plan. He had a different opportunity to show the world who he is. And who's really in charge. Amen. You see, the king thinks he's in charge, no matter who the king is. Kind of comes with the job title, I guess. You always think you're the man. You're the job. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, God had a little different idea. Amen? So while the church is interceding and praying, Peter's in prison and has absolutely no idea what's going on. And in the church has absolutely no idea what Peter's doing. Hallelujah? Because sometimes you've got to pray in faith, not knowing if it's doing any good. Not knowing what's happening. Wondering, is my prayer effectual? Amen? Am I reaching the throne room of God? I don't know. But I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on interceding. I'm going to keep on asking God. I'm going to keep on reaching out no matter how long it takes until God gives me an answer. Because sometimes that's all you can do. If I don't see the answer, if I don't know what's going to happen, sometimes all I can do is keep coming to church. Sometimes all I can do is keep reaching out. Sometimes all I can do is keep asking God. Sometimes all I can do is just keep getting on my knees. until God gives me an answer. Amen? But sometimes the proof that your prayers are working is that the opposition increases. How many amens do I have for that?
Amen!
I give you credit. Amen. We don't like it. That's not what we're asking God for. But sometimes that's what it is. Hallelujah. Sometimes we know that the prayers are working because the fire gets turned up. Amen?
Yeah.
I must be doing something right because he's hitting me harder today than he was yesterday. And the only difference is I kept praying longer today. Because the enemy doesn't want you praying. The enemy doesn't want you pounding on the throne room of God. Amen? He doesn't like that. And he's going to do everything he can to stop it. Hallelujah. Because the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why I want to be effective. Amen? Fervent, earnest. Amen? Don't just throw up a 10-second prayer just because and call it good and check the box. Amen? I don't know how many times I've heard a pastor say, if you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them like that's your mother, like that's your father, like that's your wife or your son or your daughter. Pray for them like you mean. Amen. You see, the enemy doesn't care about you when your prayers are ineffectual. But oh, does he care when you're reaching the throne room of God? Oh man, he starts caring then. Amen. All right, so let's look at what Peter was doing just hours before his trial and his probable death. Look at verse 6, where God says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was praying. Peter was praying. I don't know, what does your Bible say? Yeah, that's right. Peter was sleeping. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm in prison and I'm looking at getting my head taken off in the next couple of days, I'm pretty sure sleeping is not going to be on the list. Amen? What did God say? Peter was sleeping. And not only was he sleeping, it says that he was sleeping between the two. 16 guards were charged to watch Peter. Set between two of them. Chained between two guards. And he's passed out. Kind of made me wonder. Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So Peter was sleeping. But what does this scripture tell you about Peter? What was it about Peter that allowed him to be asleep when everything happening to him in the physical realm should have kept him up with worry? What was it about Peter? Maybe, just maybe, it wasn't what Peter saw in the physical, but it's what he knew in the spiritual. And maybe it was because he had a glimpse into the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. You see, this is a man that walked with him for 3 years. This is the only other man on the face of the earth that ever walked on water.
besides Jesus. The only one. Now we might get down on Peter because he started to sink, but in order for him to sink, he must have been on the top. And Jesus said, come, and he walked out. And we all know the story, right? He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to look at the things around him. All that opposition that was coming against him. Amen? And all of a sudden he began to sink. But he saw his master walk on water. Walk out to a boat in the middle of a lake. Amen? With all kinds of storms going on. He saw his master. I don't know about you. Well, that's pretty awesome. And that's the kind of thing that lasts. Amen? That's the kind of training that when you see that, you remember it. Amen? Or maybe it was the time when all the disciples were in the boat. Amen? And they were fighting hard to get to the other side. Amen? And that storm came up again. Hallelujah. And where was Jesus? He was sleeping. That's right. He was sleeping. Why? Because he wasn't worried. He wasn't worried. And all he did was speak to the storm and the storm stopped. He just spoke a word and the storm stopped. Maybe, just maybe, Peter knew. He learned something from his master. Amen? To be able to have confidence that God is going to move on my behalf. Amen? But if God's not done with me yet, there's nothing anybody can do. And even if he is, I get to go see him. Hallelujah? That's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith that I want. To be that supremely confident. And to know that no matter what's happening in my life, God's got me. Amen? But you can rest assured. You can rest knowing that God's got it all under control. Hallelujah. And not have to worry and not have to fret and not have to fight and battle. But you know that God's fighting on my behalf. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you come to the end of yourself and when you've done all you can do, that's when the word says to stand. Amen? When you've done all you can do, when you've done your part, God is right there to do his. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That's when we stand in faith. And believe that he who is able to command the storms in your life to cease is right there with you. I want to see, do you believe? Do you believe that I can calm the storm in your life? Do you believe that I can see you to the other side? Do you believe that I can turn what the enemy meant for evil, that I can turn it to good? God wants to know, do you believe? Amen? And that's only a question you can answer. Nobody else can answer that question. Only you. Only me. Amen? I don't know who needs to hear it, but God says that he can do more for us when we're sleeping than we can ever do struggling and straining. This word is for me. And I'm blessed to be able to share it. But I know it's for somebody else in this house. God wants to move on your behalf. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God wants
to take every opportunity to bless you. Amen. God wants to move mountains in your life and deliver you from the greatest challenges if you'll only but believe. It's kind of funny if the things about opportunities, when they come knocking on your door, they look kind of like obedience sometimes. Amen. You see, all of the leaders in this house didn't start off as leaders. Amen. None of them started off as leaders. They just were obedient. Go to church, yes. Labor for me, yes. Clean the bathroom, yes. Teach this class, yes. Serve others, yes. Preach to my people, yes. Come alongside my leaders and help bring forth the vision, yes. Be a pastor, yes. Opportunity starts with obedience, and then freedom comes. Verse 7 says, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. What did Peter do? He was obedient. You see, so many times we think that if God is bringing it, and God is telling us something, that we're going to feel that freedom. We're going to feel that freedom come, and the chains are going to be loosed, and then we can stand up. But God said, no, stand up first. Stand up first and watch as the chains fall off. God says, you be obedient to the word that I have commanded you, and watch the chains fall off of your life.
Yeah.
And then you will be free.
Yeah.
Obedience comes before freedom, hallelujah. You got to trust God to take that very first step, even though you don't know what the step after that is going to be. Because God already knows what He has for you, amen? But you'll never get there if you're not obedient to follow His instructions. Peter would have never got set free and had the chains fall off if he hadn't listened to the angel of God. What the angel commanded him was to get up. That's all he said, get up. And he was obedient. No matter what God has intended for you, He will not override your choice to believe Him or not. So when Peter stood up, the chains fell off because he simply obeyed. Everybody getting something tonight?
Amen.
Verse 8 says, then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Just that simple. Command given, action taken. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, and he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening, because he thought he was seeing a vision. Notice he didn't ask the angel where he's going. Amen. He just obeyed and followed. And there's simplicity in that. God's not asking you to make all of the decisions at once. He just wants you to trust Him for the next step. He's not asking you to process the whole vision. Just the next step. When I travel and I use my GPS, that GPS tells me, go to this street, turn left, go 4 miles this way, turn right. It doesn't give me every single step that I'm going to need to take in order to get to my destination. It gives it to me one at a time, so that I can follow it. And then it gets me to where I want to go. Amen? God says, just follow me for the next step. And I'll reveal the next step after that. And when you get there, I'll reveal the next step after that. And that's all you got to do, is trust Him for the next step. Amen? Verse 10 says, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. I want you to look at something in this verse. When they came to the iron gate, it opened
by itself the Word of God says. You see, it was Peter's obedience to the Word of God that removed his chains and delivered him from his prison. But it was God who opened the door to lead him to his purpose. Hallelujah, somebody. Did you get that? It was God who opened the door to lead him to his purpose. In each instance, God did for him what he was unable to do. Whether it was removing the chains or whether it was opening the door, God did that for him. But God also required of him that which he was able to do. And that was his obedience. God's going to require of each and every one of us to do our part, amen? If we're going to walk in the fullness of the opportunities that God has for us, we've got to do our part. He requires it of us to do our part. Oh, but then God does the rest. God does what I can't do. God does what you can't do. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to take every bit of opposition in your life and transform it into your greatest opportunity. He desires to increase your faith and increase your trust in Him. And in the end, the purposes of God were accomplished. The opposition of Herod became the opportunity for the Lord to use Peter to be an example in the word of faith, trust, and obedience. Because if you read down at the end of that chapter, all these people started praising Herod. And he never gave glory to God. And God struck him dead. Peter was out of prison. Peter was following his purpose. Peter was doing exactly what God needed him to do. And it was Herod who ended up dead. Because the purposes and plan of God will always be fulfilled. Let God turn your opposition into your greatest opportunity for you. Amen? Grow in faith. Grow in trust in Him. Hallelujah. He has great plans for you. He has great plans for you. God's not done with you yet. He's not done with me yet. Hallelujah. If you're breathing and you're here, God's not done with you yet. From the oldest to the youngest, it really doesn't matter. God's not done with you yet. Even though you think God can't use you no more, God's not done with you yet. Even though you think that you've messed up sometimes, God's not done with you yet. God has great plans. And He wants to use you. So turn over your opportunities. Turn over the opposition to Him. And watch and see what God's going to do in your life. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord for tonight. Thank you, Father. I know all of your faces. But it is only for God to know your heart. And so, if anybody has never received the Lord, all you got to do is raise your hand. And for those of you out on streaming, if you've never received the Lord, now is the time. So no matter where you're at, God sees you. And God knows you. God knows you by heart. God knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head. God loves you. And He wants you to be part of the family. And all you've got to do is just raise your hand. It's that simple. It's not about joining a group. It's about a relationship with your Father. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, who loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you think that is going to hold you back. God says he loves you right where you are. And so if that's you tonight, just raise your hand and if you would repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart. I ask you to wash me clean by your precious blood. I thank you that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again on the third day. And I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. And I thank you that my life will never be the same. Take control of my life and wash me clean, that I might serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, let me be the first to congratulate you and welcome you into the family of God. Hallelujah. If you have a church, please get plugged in. If you don't have a church, let us know. Call the office, or you can reach out to us at www.wordoftruthmaui.org. We'll be happy to set you up with a Bible-believing church. Amen. If you're here on Maui and don't have a church, please come and join us. Amen. See what God is doing in this house. Hallelujah. And if you would like to sow a seed, please go to that website. And all you gotta do is just hit that give button, amen? And you can certainly sow a seed in the good ground. Hallelujah. God bless you and thank you. Hallelujah, church. Somebody get